You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, 17 banners, way up in the rafters, J. King, John Corrales, and Sam Jam Packard. Focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly's, Rainy J's.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your regular routine. This is still a Monday podcast. We just recorded it later after the Team USA, I almost said the Boston Celtics, Team USA 84-68 win. Mostly Boston Celtics. They were led by a Boston Celtic, Jaylen Brown, who had 19 points in 19 minutes on 8 of 11 shooting. They had another decent game from Kemba Walker, who had 12 points. He had a couple of assists in 20 minutes. Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart was out there. He was Let's talk about it here. It's me, John Corrales from MassLive.com, joined by the kid, Jay King from The Athletic. Let's start with the good. This was Jaylen Brown's best game as a member of Team USA. Aggressive. He wasn't relying on the 3-point shot. He only took two. Aggressive, getting to the free throw line. So all in all, I think he took advantage really of an advantageous matchup, I think.
Yeah, Jalen's looked pretty good since the first game, the first scrimmage, I guess, that they had when he was a little out of sorts. One thing I've noticed, they're using him a lot as a actual big man.
Yeah.
Like having him go set screens, kind of run pick and pop action sometimes. One of his threes came in pick and pop. And that's kind of interesting to me. Something the Celtics may want to also use this year with Al Horford gone and the ability to play through Al Horford gone. So they're going to play small a lot. And if Jaylen can actually do some big man things credibly, then that'll be a big help. He was really, really good today. He shot 8 of 11. He had a couple moves where he like slowed down in traffic to create separation. He had other moves where he just blew by everyone to the cup. He was their best player, and he looked by far the best he's looked for Team USA.
Yeah, this is going to be something that we are going to look forward to for this upcoming season. He said it. I don't know, a few days ago, talked about playing the four for this team. Obviously, that's something that was impressed upon him, that if he's going to be out there, he's going to need to do that. And I think when you look at the international competition, Jaylen Brown at the four, it makes sense. There might be some matchups where that might not be the best. I think maybe if they play Serbia, that might be Serbia's, I think, a big team, so they might have to go a different direction in that game. But his ability and his willingness to play the four is going to be important, because I think going into the Celtics season, my biggest question is, what are they going to do at the four? We know that some combination of Enes Kanter and Poirier and those guys, you get a five. We know who the point guard is and one of the wings is going to be. How are they going to do the other wing in the four spot? To me, that's the biggest question. Some Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, are they going to be on the floor together to start or what? So I'm sure that Brad Stevens is looking at this and kind of taking notes and probably would explore Jaylen Brown kind of carrying this over to the NBA season.
Yeah, I think, you know, Gordon Hayward will handle some of those responsibilities. I think Shemi Ojeleye and Grant Williams will be competing to handle some of those responsibilities. But as you look at the front court, there's a lot of opportunity. And for the Celtics in the upcoming season, five of their best players probably their five best players are all guards, with Kemba, Smart, Hayward, Tatum, and Brown in whatever order. I mean, you can say wings, whatever. They're all perimeter players. And the more versatile you can get, the more opportunities you'll have to be on the court. And it's just another way for Jalen to kind of separate himself from some of those other guys and start to do other things.
So Jalen was good. Jason Tatum was not so great. Although his numbers don't look good. Obviously, he shot 2 of 11. He only missed 1 3. He finished with 6 points. He got to the line a couple times. Four rebounds and assists, a couple of turnovers, 4 fouls. So the numbers don't look good, but I will say at least he's attacking, and he wasn't settling for a bunch of mid-range jumpers. Like, he wasn't playing the Jason Tatum game of this past season. He was attacking a lot more. There might have been a couple of fouls that he could have gotten that he clearly wanted, but I'd rather have Jason Tatum be off when he's attacking and then hope he can finish, start to finish at the rim. But I think when we're looking forward to this next season, if he plays the way he played in this game, I'll feel a lot better about him figuring things out and I'd rather see that than him playing like he did last season.
And he sort of faked the attack, I thought. Like, he started going to the rim and then a couple of times just launched like weird floaters for no reason. Like, you're a super long 6'8 or 6'9 now, whatever you are, after you grew a little bit, after you got to the NBA. Go to all the way to the rim. You're playing against Canadian's B team, man. Like, really, really, like, go to the hoop, finish. And you saw the one post-up move he had, where he had a smaller guy on him, just took his time, was really patient, got basically all the way to the rim. But for whatever reason, on his drives, he just started to use like a short floater. And there were a couple of drives where I thought he could have went up and tried to dunk it, tried to finish hard. And he just didn't. And he missed some layups that he'll normally make a lot of the time. You're right. Like, he was trying to get to the hoop. But a couple times I just thought he could have finished harder and just gone and dunked it on somebody's head.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But for me, looking at Tatum, it's about like taking these incremental steps. This type of attack. Okay, so now he starts attacking and then he gets, like you said, gets to a spot. And then he's not being aggressive all the way through the play. All right, so then what you do is you look at the game film and be like, okay, you're good up until this. 80% of what you did is good. Now this next 20%, here you go. And hopefully he starts to get that message. Maybe some of it was out of frustration. I feel like he launched a couple of those crazy shots later in the game when, I don't know, maybe he felt like he wasn't getting fouls or whatever. I don't know. But I liked the beginning of this. What we didn't see is up fake from the 3-point line, take 2 steps in and take a jumper. Like that's I didn't see a single shot like that in this game. So that to me is progress. If you're looking from a Celtics perspective, that's a good step forward. Like, now let's build on that.
Yeah, we'll see. He's looked a little out of sorts the last couple of games. I also think it's kind of interesting. I don't think he took a single 3-pointer.
Took one.
Like, maybe it was the way Canada was guarding, but one of the things he should be working on is how to locate those shots and how to shoot more of those shots. And that's something he needs to continue working on too. So, not his best game. I did think he continues to compete though. Like, he played defense. He made a few good passes. It wasn't like a total waste from him, even though he didn't shoot the ball or finish the ball well at all.
We'll continue the Jason Tatum conversation. We'll also Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
If you go back to the Australia game where Team USA lost, Jason Tatum is 4 for 19 and 0 for 4 from 3. So clearly he's not hitting. And now the question is he just cold? Is there something else? Is he having trouble adjusting? He's not the only one. Chris Middleton was horrible, and he's a much better shooter. Chris Middleton didn't hit a shot, was scoreless on 0 of 8 shooting, and we've seen firsthand that Chris Middleton can fill it up.
The Bucks guys not playing much has been weird to me. Like, to me, Brook Lopez should be playing sizable minutes. To me, Chris Middleton is like easily one of their better wings, but I guess Middleton has been really struggling. So
yeah,
some of those wings have
they are kind of very, very wing heavy. So I don't know what they're going to do to kind of get everybody the time. The question now for Popovich is how much time are you going to start giving these guys? And again, this was a tune-up, so some guys played more and some guys, you know, maybe he's just trying to look at certain combinations. But at some point, I don't know if you can go into this competition, give everybody 15 minutes and just play everybody the same amount of time. Because, you know, what are you going to do? Like, is Joe Harris going to be your scrub? Like, that's a hell of a scrub to have out there. But I think you're going to have to find a group and let them get their groove. There's also like, this is also 10 minute quarters. So you got a couple less minutes, you know, 4 less minutes per half to get yourself going, to find your rhythm, to find a couple of shots. I mean, that could be 4 shots for somebody. So that could be the difference between getting hot and not. So it seems like Tatum's going to be one of those featured guys. I mean, he's been getting pretty good minutes throughout the tune-up part of all of this. I don't know if he's just cold or what. I don't know what you think, Jay, but I'm not sure which way to go on that.
It's just a couple games, and in a FIBA setting, like, you're not getting all the shot attempts you would in an NBA game. So you miss a few shots, and all of a sudden your numbers are just going to look ugly. It's just how it is. Like, you miss a few shots in a row in an NBA game, you have the rest of the game to make up for it. In a FIBA game, you're not getting all those touches, you're not getting all those shot attempts. So if you miss a few layups that you'd normally make, like, all of a sudden your numbers just look screwy, and a game that otherwise would have looked like you were productive, you were good, turns the other way, and you can't really take it back. So I don't think it's anything to like worry about or anything like that. He looked like, for the first 3 games, including scrimmages, 2 games, including scrimmages, whatever it was, he looked like one of the top players on the team. And I think that's still kind of how they're viewing him based on the minutes distribution. So I wouldn't be too concerned about Jason Tatum's last couple games. It's just, it happens sometimes.
It does happen. Marcus Smart got a few more minutes in this one. He played 17 minutes. He only took 1 shot. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, which was to Jaylen Brown for a dunk in transition, a couple of turnovers, 3 steals, very Marcus Smart-like there. I think Marcus Smart is that calf thing that he was dealing with definitely put him behind. And it's hard enough for these guys to figure things out as it is. He played 9 minutes against Australia in that second game. So now he played 17 minutes against Canada. So 26 minutes of action is not going to get you the chemistry, that continuity you need with the rest of your team. The play that stands out to me was that dunk to Jaylen Brown, because he had a turnover. Like, he was bringing the ball up and he had a turnover, and then he came back down, got an offensive rebound, got back down in transition, and threw a beautiful pass to Jaylen Brown. I think that kind of combination, that whole sequence shows kind of where Marcus Smart is, that he's struggling a little bit to kind of get into a rhythm with everybody, but also he can, when he does find guys, he can make some great plays and really run things out there.
The play that stood out to me was the last possession of the second quarter.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure Smart got put in just for that possession, like just to play defense on that possession. Was guarding the ball handler. Ball handler coughed it up. Smart like goes nutty to just dive on the ball after it, and it ends up in a Donovan Mitchell dunk the other way. So some Marcus Smart things. He didn't have many opportunities or didn't take many opportunities to try to do much offensively, but defensively is where he's gonna obviously fit in the biggest with Team USA. So we'll see. I think they kind of need a defensive stopper.
Totally.
But I don't know when they'll need that. I don't know what team they'll need it against. It feels like a lot of the best players in this tournament are big guys or huge wings like Giannis, like Jokic, Giannis, Gobert. A lot of those guys are obviously interior players, and in Giannis's case, like just a beastly world dominating wing.
But hey, they could have used them against Patty Mills at the end of that Australia. They
could have certainly used them against Patty Mills. And yeah, Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, those are two guys you could sick Smart on. I'm sure Bojan Bogdanovic for Serbia, sure. Which also looks to be one of the better teams in the tournament. So there will always be players to use Marcus Smart on. I was shocked Kyle Wilcher scored in a post-up against him. And it was like a horribly difficult shot, but Kyle Wilcher hit it. And Kyle Wilcher, he's got some game. He's got some game to him. I like Kyle Wilcher's game. That is my little short, brief tangent about Kyle Wilcher.
You always latch on to one of these opposing guys. Well, you know, look, Marcus Smart forced him into a tough shot. But in the same vein of what I was saying before, defensively, it was in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, the game was already decided, but Marcus Smart was guarding on the perimeter, and he switched one time, and then Joe Harris was coming over, and he called for the switch, and Joe Harris didn't switch. So, and it didn't mean anything, didn't matter, so maybe people didn't notice, but it stood out to me because you could see Marcus Smart directing the defense, and Harris was like, he just didn't pick up on it. So there's still going to be some miscommunication there, and it just makes me wonder how vulnerable this team really is. And I've said all along, like, I'm not too worried, because this is still a team of 12 high-level NBA players, starting quality NBA players, against teams that, even if they face a team that has a star better than any star that they have, that depth that the USA has is just going to be too much. But if there are going to be these miscommunications, like, that's going to be the thing that tears them down. Like, they had a ton of turnovers. They had a ton of turnovers against Canada.
They are vulnerable.
Yeah.
They doesn't seem like they've clicked. Tons of turnovers. The offense and defense both have spurts where they go missing. I think they'll definitely be favored in every game, but they won't be such overwhelming favorites that it'll be like an easy trip to a championship. There's no way this will be easy. Whether it's Australia, Greece, Serbia, Spain, like there's going to be a game in this run that is going to come down to the last couple minutes, and USA is going to need to make some plays. And I think their defense looked a lot better against Canada, but they need to rely on their defense, because the offense, like, you just have so many guys that aren't used to playing with each other. It's not going to be just a seamless trip, a seamless, like, cohesion happening. So We'll see. I don't think there's a huge gap at all. And obviously the USA has already lost to Australia, but there's just not a huge gap anymore. And even though USA's depth is much, much better, and even though talent wise, USA still has pretty obviously the best top to bottom talent, there just is not that enormous gap that there would be if USA brought all their best players.
I agree. We're going to come back.
Question. We'll go into this afterward. I got a good hypothetical. How many wins would this team win if they're in the NBA? Let's talk about it after the break.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So before the break, Jay King asked, how many games would this team win if they were in the NBA? So let's see. Are we taking these players off of the other teams, or are we just everybody's the same, but this team suddenly has magical clones of everybody?
Yeah, if this team suddenly has magical clones of everybody and every other team is the same.
Gotcha. I mean, it's still a really good team.
Absolutely.
But they don't have the star. So is this the other question, is this an Eastern Conference team or a Western Conference team?
That's a good question. We'll say we'll go East. We'll go East just to make it.
I think this team could come out of the East.
Yeah, they would fight to come out of the East.
Yeah, they would be fighting for like the top one or two seeds.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. One, two, or three. Milwaukee, the Team USA, and the Sixers. But yeah. Although with some of those teams, like the depth of Team USA would be really important.
Right. Like there's no, like who guards Giannis in this? You, Harrison Barnes? Like who do you throw on? Who's big enough? You have to be smart.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think this team out of the East, they could make it to the finals. In the West, it'd be tough because each team in the West has like two megastars, two like the best teams in the West have like two like top 10, top 20 players. I don't know who's a top 20 player on this team. Is Kemba? Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, I don't know if those
are the closest guys to the top 20 guys. I mean, you'd hope that Tatum gets there at some point, but he's not now.
Middleton was probably pretty close to it last year with the Bucks.
Sure.
But has not been playing like it so far with Team USA.
No. So I don't know that. I mean, this would have to be a team that relied on its depth. And I don't know. On the NBA level, we just saw what a really deep team could do. I think there would be problems because obviously a bunch of these guys would want to be starting. And you're getting into like Chris Middleton's coming off the bench and Jaylen Brown's coming off the bench and, you know, great guys to have come off the bench. It'd still be a really good team. I don't know. They'd probably win 50 games.
Yeah, I would give them like 50 to 55 wins somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that range. In the East, 55. In the West, 50. Like somewhere like that. So a really good team. They'd probably in the East go. I would say they could get to the finals, the NBA finals. Out of the West, it'd be a tough fight.
First round bloodbath. Warriors get the sixth seed and destroy Team USA.
I don't think so. But who knows? Let's get back to the Celtics performance out there. And Kemba Walker, What have you seen from Kemba Walker? Like, do you think that the way he's been playing works? What if he plays like this for the Celtics?
It absolutely works. I don't think he's done anything particularly surprising. He is lightning quick. He can get by dudes, and he puts a lot of pressure on a defense. And I think he'll obviously have more opportunities with the Celtics. I think they'll build their offense more around him, or at least they should. But even in somewhat limited opportunities with Team USA, he is getting into the teeth of the defense. He's creating quality looks, and like he's been the one guy who kind of looks in control all the time. And there have been a lot of guys on the team that have had moments, had stretches, played really well in bursts, but Kemba's the one who kind of looks like he's in control, he's got this. And I've thought from day one he's looked really good for Team USA.
Yeah, I think he's going to be their go-to guy. Like Kemba's their best player consistently. The way he changes directions, the way he can get himself to the rim, it's wild. It's going to be fun. And he doesn't handle the ball the same way Kyrie Irving does, but he can still drop guys. He can still, just by his ability to change direction and kind of like pull like that God Sham God move or the crossover. I mean, he can really, really put guys in a bad spot and get to where he wants.
It's neat how different his game is from Kyrie. Yeah. Like Kyrie just not that he was laid back, but he kind of, like, I feel like defenders a lot of the time probably felt like they played perfect defense on Kyrie and he just roasted them anyway. Whereas defenders against Kemba are probably like, oh shit, he just beat me so bad again and got a layup. And so there's like Kemba is always attacking, and Kyrie is, and he's more accomplished, like, don't get me wrong, but he just has a totally different style where it's less like attacking and more like, all right, I'm going to break off like some beautiful, beautiful moves and then tear out your soul with like an absurd twisting layup off the underneath of the backboard. So it's like they just their contrast in styles is fun, I think.
I think what Kemba does better is it's the change of speeds. It's the going one way and then all of a sudden he plants and he's gone different direction. Like there was that 3-point play, was it at the end of the first half against Canada, where he got fouled and he ended up losing control of the ball and tipping the ball in, which was kind of a bullshit shot. But the point is that he was going full speed, planted that left leg and kind of Euro stepped in a situation where most guys aren't able to control themselves and Euro step. So Kemba can, he's not going to like wow you with the Kyrie type handle, but he is going to make you think he's going one way and then all of a sudden in a blink be in a different spot. And that's the key to him getting to the rim. And I appreciate that because that takes a lot of hard work and thinking it through. And Kyrie is such a more natural, like, just, he can just bust you in so many different ways. Kemba is like surgically setting you up. I've done this. I'm going here. I'm going this fast. Now all of a sudden, boom, I'm going this fast, different speed. It's fun. And I enjoy watching him do it. And I hope, like, he got to the line 7 times against Canada. I hope that he can continue to do that and get to the line a lot more when he's with the Celtics. That's going to help him a lot.
If he continues to play Canada's B team, he may average a lot of free throws. Real talk, though, I think what should separate this Team USA team, if they do end up winning, is that it's just really, really hard to to limit both Kemba Walker and Donovan Mitchell, because those guys can both get going downhill, and there just aren't a lot of teams that have guys who can stop both of them and keep both of them out of the lane. So I think if they end up maximizing themselves, and they could win a gold medal or whatever it is in the FIBA World Cup, whatever they give you for winning the FIBA World Cup, they could win even if they don't maximize it. But I think if they do, it'll be because teams just don't have a chance to keep both those guys in front of them.
Well, we're going to see, because the FIBA World Cup is around the corner. Today is August 26th. The World Cup begins on August 31st. So,
hey, I just want to give a birthday shout out to my dad.
Oh, happy birthday.
He's a listener, one of the listener gods, and so I thought I'd give him a shout out. Love you, Dad.
If you're the kid, is he the guy? Is he the dude?
He's the old ass man now.
All right. Shout out to Jay's dad. Happy birthday. Thanks for listening. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to you for making us part of your day. We'll be back to talk about more Team USA stuff coming up. Like I said, the World Cup begins, USA versus the Czech Republic, September 1st. So watch for that. We'll be back then. And we hope that you subscribe, give us that good 5-star rating, a good written review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast. Rainy day.